Blog Talk Radio.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Alua Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Oje Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by my co-host on Tuesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find him on Facebook as James Jones, as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. UnityDesign.com. Also, please support Unity Design, headed up by my beloved brother out of Detroit, Arlie Gordon. Please hit him up at UnityDesign.com, and Unity is spelled UNITEE, and of course, the Free Ohio Movement, which is rolling along very nicely, and the momentum is definitely picking up following last Friday's stand, if you will, by the prisoners themselves who decided that they no longer wanted to participate and be willing participants in their own captivity and their own slavery, and took a stand on September 9th in recognition of the 45th anniversary of the Attica uprising. So we asked you, please keep our comrades in the freedom struggle in your positive thoughts and prayers, and we wish them well and continue to support them not only through Sign of the Times but also the UAC. So please look us up on the FreeOhioMovement.org. You also can email us at FreeOhioMovement@gmail.com. If you should wish to make a contribution to Sign of the Times, you can do that via our PayPal account, and you can send us a message this very same way. Our email address is signthetimes19@gmail.com. Again, signthetimes19@gmail.com. Please reach out to us. Let us know what you think about the broadcast, and you can do that on Facebook as well. Myself is Queen Tahira, New Power Radio Network, the UAC, and, of course, Sign of the Times. So tonight we have the honor of having our other sponsor, AAES, the All African Empowerment Society, and Brother Laquay Jewell join us. They're on the mic with us every other Friday night and always bring us exciting news and hope and positivity and good vibrations for the future. So we're planning along in this process, and we need you to be a part of it. Just to make the commitment that you want to see change and you're willing to sign your name off and say that, hey, you know, I believe in this. I want to make change. I want to participate, and let me know what I can do. So, peace, Brother Laquay. Welcome to Sign of the Times. How are you doing tonight?
Naja, Queen Tahira, how are you?
Naja, beloved, I am fine. I'm glad it's Friday. It's getting ready to rain here in this beautiful city of Cincinnati, or Cincinnati, depending on what day of the week it is. So I'm vibing well. How are you doing? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Everything is nice down here in Atlanta. It is hot as usual. No rain in sight, but we're persevering and maintaining.
And that's what's up. We're going to be down that way, and we're going to do a broadcast or two while we're there the week of November the 5th. So please be looking out for us, and let the comrades know that Sign of the Times is headed that way.
Definitely. Look forward to it.
That's what's up. So, okay, so let's do this. For those who may be new to listening to the gathering and finding out what the gathering is about, can you please give us a brief overview of the gathering, the treasury, and what inspired you, if you will, to put all this together?
All right. Well, one, the gathering means gathering our resources, gathering our people, gathering our wealth. So you can put whatever at the end of gathering, and it represents what we're trying to accomplish. We have in various small pockets, large pockets in some cases, you know, small and large, have started the process of what we need to do to improve on us socially as a community. And ultimately, many of us are pushing towards nationhood. So that means that we have to gather, which means we have to come together. Other people term this as specifically unity, but before we can achieve the point where we all agree, we have to have a coalition of the willing so that we can coalesce together and begin the process of quote-unquote gathering. So the gathering itself is a campaign that was created by the All African Empowerment Society, which is not just me. It consists of a group of very forward-thinking individuals out of Camden, New Jersey, and other parts of New Jersey and Philadelphia that created the society back in 2012. Moving forward, the campaign itself was devised as part of a project management position that I assumed the role of by appointment to basically quarterback the effort of the creation of something specific economically that will improve the lot of all of what we are doing as a people, and that is a treasury. A treasury is not a bank. It's not a developmental bank. It's not a credit union. It's not simply a fund. And it's not a business. What the treasury represents, it is the arm of our community that would operate in the same way that other treasuries in other nations operate in terms of government spending for the purposes of achieving economic goals that no one individual, no one business could accomplish by itself. It is the power of our collective aggregated wealth operating in our interest without being profit-driven. The purpose of how a treasury operates is not for the purposes of investment or profit. It is for the purposes of productivity from the community itself. So a perfect example is the way that Japan, if people are not aware of history, but the way that Japan was able to go from a samurai society of sword-wielding individuals to a modernized industrial nation that was able to wage war with the United States, somewhat degree, very successfully, was they opened up their treasury, which was controlled by the emperor at the time, and basically invested in creating subsidies for their own businesses or creating businesses that at the time did not exist in their nation. They brought in and paid Europeans to teach them specific skills and then kicked the Europeans out after they trained them how to do it and then operated on their own. The way this is done is the treasury basically began the process of creating these businesses or subsidizing businesses that already existed, which is basically a grant so that they didn't have to pay it back, and they got their return by the productivity that came from the nation as a whole. So me personally, why I got involved and why I took the pledge and why I believe that this is one of the best avenues that we could employ as a tactic or strategy is because, one, I am a trained economist, so I understand what a treasury is and what it would do for us and why it is one of the key pieces that has been missing in our community. And then, two, they're not asking for money at this time, and what we are looking to accomplish is a phased rollout. So part of the process of creating something like this is first getting the community to understand what it is and then seeing if they agree that it would be a good thing to pursue. All that does is get the ball rolling on executing a plan where people create the framework of how it would operate, and then after they've done that, then they have to present it to us or we the people for us to see whether or not we agree with it, wish to ratify it, and wish to support it. And then from that point forward, they would operate it, and then once it would be operated, we see how it works, whether or not it actually accomplishes what we believe it will accomplish. So this is a four-part process that I believe would be the best or most effective way of achieving the creation of an institution that would be monumental in our forward movement towards nationhood.
Ashe, that sounds very exciting, Brother LaQuay, and that's something that anybody of any age can be a part of, any profession. We're looking for just people who want change, and we hear a lot of talk about the importance of controlling our economics, controlling our politics and things like that, but without having some sort of resource to tap into, which is, you know, what a lot of us are missing. We have a lot of talented people in our community, a lot of educated people, but often there's just that gap missing of having that bridge. And, you know, we could get into a discussion as to why, you know, the fact that we've been suppressed and oppressed from the point of slavery, but we can no longer use that as an excuse for us not to gather. You know, we know what the issues are. We know the things that we've had to overcome. And now it's up to us to simply put our minds and hearts and hands and bodies together and make this thing happen. So how can people get involved, and what kind of people are you looking for? Let's let them hear directly from you what you need.
You mean how can people get involved to support, or how they can get involved to actually participate, or both?
Both.
If you wish to support the effort, the main thing that we need, our goal is to get 60,000 people to basically take a pledge. And the pledge says two things. And I know when people hear the word pledge, they believe that it represents money. It does not represent money in our case. It does represent a commitment of your word. So it's really your consent, but it's more than just your consent. We really need you to act on something that you actually believe in. It asks you this question. One, do you believe that we need our own independent economic support system? If the answer is yes to that, then our next question is if we create an institution that does that support system that operates without corruption and is run professionally with transparency, would you support it? And if you benefited by it? And if that's the case, then we ask you to take the pledge or to give us your consent to proceed with the process of planning and then executing the creation of a treasury. And then the execution would really depend upon whether or not all of us agree with what the plan is that was created. So we're just trying to get to the planning phases so we can deal out the details or create the details that are necessary that people have many questions about. There's not a lot of organizations and businesses that have used this approach because this is actually a governmental approach where you have to actually get support for an idea. Once you have support for an idea, you create the plan. Once you've created the plan, then you get ratification of that idea, and then you execute the plan. The reason why we've used this approach is because we believe that based upon how the community is, in reference that they've been conned, been a part of many different schemes that have not come to any fruition, or they can't see the fruits of the contributions that they've made in terms of their money or their labor to how that they've played a role in creating something. So they're once bitten, twice shy. On the other hand, you have many of our leaders and many of our officials who have taken, business people who have taken their own money and their own time and at risk to themselves, stepped out on their beliefs with the hopes that we, the people, would support them, and they've lost many, many times in terms of their own personal wealth, and they've lost their own personal time, and they've suffered because of it, because they've been attacked by the enemy to try and do these things, and then we haven't supported them. So they, as well, are once bitten, twice shy. So it's important for us to first get both parties to give them what they're asking for. And what the leadership is asking for to be able to come to the table to create this is they do not believe that our people will support this. So we at the All African Empowerment Society do believe that our people will support them, and we're looking for that less than 0.1% of our people who will. And that's sufficient, which is 60,000 people. Now, recently, 3 weeks ago, we achieved 5,000. We're somewhere around 5,200 now, but we have 5,000 people who have already agreed with the process of moving forward with the creation of a plan for a treasury. Maybe some people may look at that as a small amount, but for us, we look at that as being a monumental achievement. We still have a ways to go. Our next milestone is 15,000, so we need 10,000 more people. We are in currently 25 states, and we are in 40-plus cities. And we're looking to expand to our total regions of 54. And 300 cities total. So how you yourself can take the pledge is just go to www.blackunitedstates.com, and that will lead you to the All African Empowerment website to a specific page devoted to the gathering, and you can take the pledge right then and there. It does not obligate you. It does not ask for any type of credit card or anything like that. It really just simply is similar to a petition. If you wish to get involved on there's four ways that you can get involved. One, you can volunteer for the All African Empowerment Society as a whole, not necessarily just the gathering, but the All African Empowerment Society. And you can do that at the All African Empowerment Society website, which is www.aaessociety.org. So aaessociety.org. And you can volunteer. You'll see a button on the front that says join us or volunteer. You just click that, and you can volunteer for the AAES. If you wish to be part of the gathering, when you take your pledge, there's two positions that you can ask for, which is a city rep or a state rep. And then we're not looking for any specific type of person for this position, but we are looking for self-starters. So if you want to be a city rep or a state rep, there are specific things that we ask you to do, and you receive a guidebook when you join. and you will be required and responsible for doing these activities. There is some payment involved in that process, so you would basically be a subcontractor or a 1099 type of employee, in which case you receive payment from the All African Empowerment Society to fulfill the role that we're asking you to do. So, again, all you have to do is check the box for city rep or state rep when you fill out your pledge. And then if you wish to be involved in the policy creation of the Treasury, there's another question that asks you that. And if you say yes to that, you need to supply us with your resume so that when we get to the point of planning, you're invited to participate. If you would like to work for the Treasury or have a position within that institution when it's created, again, you also will have a question for that. You can click yes on that, and you also will be required to supply your resume. It's first come, first served, so if you, as soon as you ask, you'll get a response from us. Obviously, for the work positions or the job positions and the policy creation, you have to wait till we get to those phases, and that's how you can get involved. There's two other processes that we have. One is for businesses. If you have an existing African-owned business in the United States and you would like to receive cash grants from the Treasury when it is created, we ask that you register with the Treasury now. We are building a database, and we would like to have all African-owned businesses that are in the United States within that database. So all we're asking for is your basic business information. It's free for you to include that information, and you can go to www.aaesociety.org/newbiz, which is new biz, but business spelled with a Z. And then lastly, you can also, if you're an organization or have an organization and you agree with this push that we're doing and you would like your organization to support or be part of the organizations who support the gathering for the creation of a Black-owned Treasury, all you need to do is do the same process. Go to www.aaesociety.org/organization, and you would be able to sign your organization up as a support. Someone will contact you, and we will get you whatever paraphernalia you need and include you on the All African Empowerment website as a supporter for the gathering.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned that's very important, and I want to go back to that, if you don't mind, is the willingness of the gathering to be transparent. And in its transparency, it leaves room for accountability, sincerity, and integrity, which is what I see is what we've built our foundation on. So can you talk about, you know, the importance of expressing that to those who are coming on board, that this is going to be a transparent organization?
Well, you mean the Treasury itself?
Yes.
Okay. So the Treasury as a financial institution, and I always want to orient people to understand that we are creating an institution that is meant to exist whether the United States exists or not, whether or not their economic system exists or not. This is basically to create something that belongs to us and is autonomous and should stand as long as we stand. So in that respect, we have to consider what we consider the best practice or the best behavior or the best integrity that we could possibly have for our institutions, irregardless of what other people may or may not do, which means that if you're going to contribute your time or your resources towards an institution that is meant to improve the economy for all of us, that means that you need to make sure that the people who are running that institution are not embezzling funds, are not misusing funds, or supporting things that you don't agree with. And in that process, you should have not only transparency, which means that you should be able to see line items as to what was spent and how it was utilized and for what, as well as be able to ask questions or have some form of process by which you can either remove people who you believe are acting inappropriately or change the direction of the policy of the Treasury, which is a political process. So we would be involved as a people, and we would be looking at what is being spent and on who and on what. And we do have a tendency when we create institutions or companies or organizations like this, when people begin to critically ask questions, that we get upset or we get angry because people are questioning us. Well, when you are a steward and when you are a representative and you are acting on behalf of the people, you're supposed to be questioned. This is not like our religious institutions where you are a pastor or imam or whatever, and you don't believe that the people should question you because you are the quote-unquote man or woman of God. No, actually, you should be questioned even more. So we get into this role where we behave as kings and queens in terms of the attitude, but not necessarily the behavior of accountability. So I believe, and this would be my two cents that I would add to the process once it's created or being created, that we need to have the greatest amount of transparency possible for our people without jeopardizing the institution as a whole, but to be able to give them the trust and assurance that this is not just going towards Rolls Royces or big homes or funding other people's businesses or other organizations that, you know, there's no nepotism and there's no cronyism and there's no conflict of interest. So these things are things that need to be addressed, and I don't believe that people are going to ratify or fulfill their pledge if they believe that this is what's going to occur. It has to be spelled out how we're going to protect against these things in the perspective. So that's the whole process. And where we are right now is simply getting to the point where we can create the perspective so that people can scrutinize before we even create it.
Mm-hmm. So, Brother LaQuay, you know, it's all well and good until there's a conflict that arises. And I know that things are not finalized yet. I know this is very much still in the planning process, but has there been any discussion or any thought as to yet how you will resolve conflict resolution? What would your approach be?
Well, I don't know how the parties involved will resolve conflict resolution. We do have a working model of how we should proceed regardless of whatever the conflicts will be. Once the people have agreed on the support for the institution as a whole, the individuals who are part of the planning process will become smaller in the sense as to what their personal wants or desires can or should be in terms of controlling the outcome of the institution. For example, when you have 60,000 people who consent or give a pledge towards the creation of something, they've already decided that they're going to create. They've already decided that they want to see what you produce. So if everyone is brought to the table, if anyone wishes to be a prima donna, if anyone wishes to be a diva of any type, male, female, whatever, and they want to remove themselves, they just should be allowed to remove themselves. The process will still move forward. We will still be a people who need a treasury, who need a strong economy. And whatever their concerns are, I think that everyone's concerns should be addressed. There's going to be differences because, let's be real, some of us don't want to be independent. Some of us believe that the best possible outcome for us as a people is to participate in white supremacy and to be part of it. Some of us don't believe that we have the ability to govern ourselves and to manage our own resources and make our own decisions and exist apart from other people. Those people will disagree with us. I don't know that there's any resolution that can be achieved with them other than we respectfully disagree. There will be definitely professionalism, and these people will not be allowed to possess or achieve control of this type of institution because the mission is what's going to govern our activities. And our mission is definitely nationhood. So if your mission is not nationhood or sovereignty for our people as a whole, then I don't believe that there's going to be a solution for conflict resolution with those individuals. Now, when you're talking about maybe the differences and the nuances between the Moorish approach versus the Nation of Islam approach versus the Akan approach or the Yoruba approach or the Gullah approach or the Confederation approach. And I'm just mentioning things that I'm aware of in terms of our community or many or the Black church approach. If we're talking about those types of differences, again, we have got to know that what's going to be the governing principle for our process, not necessarily the gathering, but our process is the mission. So if you wish to have a seat at the table and you wish to participate, there will be a level of decorum that will be acceptable, and there will be a level of decorum that won't be acceptable. We will have government. We will have process. And that's going to govern our conflict resolution. So if someone is speaking and they have the floor and they don't follow decorum, they'll be removed. There will be order. And that's something that we have not had for a long period of time because we have not been in authority over ourselves. And we will be in authority over this process. So we expect to have differences. We expect to have conflict. The resolution is order. And order will be established by ourselves, our people, our organization. And we will make sure and we will steward this process to its completion.
That sounds great, Brother Lafay. So where are we headed? I know that there's a goal of March 2017. Talk about that goal and what things need to happen between now and then.
Well, we are almost 6 months. We're 7 months away from that. So what needs to happen is within the next 2 months, we need to achieve 15,000. We have a plan for that. Once we achieve 15,000, we will receive additional funding. That additional funding will be what we're going to use is to bring the experts, the economists, the finance people, and the business people, as well as the political activists, the spiritual, or should I say African worldview scholars and spiritualists to the table as well, because there must be a character or there must be a component of the treasury, and there must be a component of this process that is governed by our culture. Even though we have many people who may have doctorate degrees, master degrees, and all of these other accolades of achievement in the system of white supremacy, in which they validate their knowledge base, we have not validated their knowledge base because that knowledge is not necessarily in agreement with our cultural norms. And our spiritual people may not have the same academic accolades, but they definitely do have or have worked at achieving a standard of iwapele, good character and integrity for our people in the expression of the African worldview and other indigenous cultures. So we need that process to be governed. And I'll give an example of what I mean. There is a push for a confederacy and a plebiscite with the United Nations for various groups here in the United States to achieve recognition by the U.S. government as having sovereignty and not necessarily being completely autonomous, but having a relationship to the United States government akin to how the Native Americans have currently with the Board of Indian Affairs. Now, should they achieve that, I had said that my participation in that group, I just wanted to make sure that we're not just going to basically transfer the reins of power from one group to our group, but the people themselves have not altered their mindset and their training or education or their worldview. So if we create our own system, and in that system, we proceed with the same level of a justice system, the same way that the Europeans do, and our solution to everything is to find people and lock them up and using such blunt instruments as that, then I don't want to be part of that. And the response was, well, we have to have jails. And I said, no, we don't. And I'm not going to get into that on this particular show, but I wanted to point out to you that there are other alternatives and other solutions to our society that does not have to follow the model that the Europeans have. They have created this myth in their educational process that we have the best political system that has ever existed on the planet. No, we do not. They've also created this myth that capitalism is the greatest economic system that has ever existed. No, it is not. What they have done is they've created the greatest military system on the face of the earth, and I don't necessarily agree that they have the greatest tactical military system. They have had an advancement in warfare technology that has allowed them to propel themselves to the forefront of civilization or existence here on this planet ahead of people who are greater in expertise, knowledge, and integrity. And this is akin to a 20-year-old, or should I say even a 17-year-old man or young man who is very large, strong, and robust, being able to defeat an 88-year-old man. That's not an accomplishment. That's a reality because he's physically stronger than the 88-year-old man. But is he more intelligent? Most likely not. Is he more experienced? Most likely not. Is he wiser? Absolutely not. So this is what Western society actually is, because Western society is the 17 or 16-year-old robust young man, and our civilizations or indigenous civilizations are akin to the 88-year-old man, in which we have quite a bit more advancement than they do, but they have been able to surpass us materially simply because they're violent. That is what their achievement is, might over everything. So to follow their model in the creation of our own institutions or social design will lead us to the same conclusion and the same type of society in which parents would rather sacrifice the advancement of their children educationally over image, meaning that they would be willing to spend $200 for Jordan sneakers but then not invest in their education. They would be willing to purchase expensive cars but still be renting. They'd be willing to leave their own communities for foreign communities and spend more money in the process of doing it. This type of behavior is indicative of a group of people who have become addicted to consumption over the value of what they are consuming, and they have been addicted to spending as opposed to savings and investment, and they don't even understand the system that they are involved in. So we don't want to perpetuate the same process because then we would have to find another group for us in order to survive, to oppress, in order for us to live above the standards or means of our society where we have super, super rich individuals. And see nothing wrong with that. And we would have super, super, super poor individuals and see nothing wrong with that. So this type of social standard, this type of integrity is unacceptable in my viewpoint of what we would need to have. So the people who would be brought to bear for this process would have to include not just our academia, but also those people who represent our culture at its finest.
We've got a caller in queue. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line, 3237, last four digits, 3237. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
Peace. How's it going, everybody? Nyjah, this is Scott Thomas, Brooklyn.
Nyjah, Scott. How are you, brother?
I'm all right. I can't complain. Yeah, I just wanted to just ask you a question right quick. You know, with this movement, quote-unquote movement, that we have a lot of individuals that's across everywhere. You got individuals with education, you got other individuals dealing with economics. How do you see us all coming up under one umbrella?
Meaning how do I see the different camps being able to be under one banner?
Well, more or less being able to work together. We don't necessarily have to all agree, but just agree on the main things, but everybody working together.
Well, the first thing I believe that needs to happen is a recognition of what each one of us is attempting to do. And it is a difficult process for we the people to ascertain what a particular group is trying to do, as well as what their true motives are. So once we get past that, let's say we get past the fakes, the charlatans, and the scammers, right? And then we get to the people who are passionate and true as to what they represent. Now we have to look at what they're actually saying and see who is in what lane. And then once we do that, I believe that there should be nothing preventing us from working together. Perfect example in terms of questions that have come up lately. I'm in Atlanta, so Dr. Boyce Watkins is doing an event here in Atlanta shortly. He has a conference, and Dr. Boyce Watkins is addressing the idea of what we need to do financially as a people, economically, and let's have some clarification on terms. Economics is the system by which we interact with our environment and resources in that environment. That is the broadest possible way of understanding economics. Business is a function of economy. Finance is a function of economy. So in that, and government actually is a function of economy. So economy kind of sits at the head of all of this, and it really is the process by which we trade with one another, we trade with larger entities than individuals, and by which we operate in the system as to what we consider to be having value and not having value. All right? So in that respect, what I see the different, groups or schools of thought, I have seen quite a few schools of thought towards a solution that is microeconomic. I have seen very little towards a solution that is macroeconomic. And that is not a difference of intelligence. It's not that the people who are suggesting a microeconomic solution don't understand macroeconomics. And let me clarify those two terms. Microeconomics is anything dealing with individuals and businesses operating within the economy. Macroeconomics are the institutions within an economy that control the standard of what we consider to be valuable or the things that control that value. For example, interest rates and things of that nature, or collective use of aggregated funds. So when we pay our taxes, we're paying into a macroeconomic system that operates by way of the government to spend money on behalf of the citizens to affect and control the economy. Microeconomic is anything dealing with anything that's a corporate business, a cooperative, a conglomerate, a syndicate, a fund, a bank, a credit union, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things are microeconomic. So most of our solutions that have been presented by most of the leaders in our community have been presented from a microeconomic standpoint. And the reason why they've done that is because they may not have, in the economic sense, seen that we have the ability to operate on a macroeconomic level as long as we create our own institutions and proceed with the mindset that we will govern the economy within our community for ourselves. And if you make that transition, then the solutions macroeconomically have a greater effect, and they facilitate most of the plans that have been presented microeconomically. So what we need to do in terms of saving money in our households, that's all microeconomic. Dr. Boyce Watkins, as well as Dr. Claude Anderson, and many other economists have the same solutions for that, and they're correct. And we should support those solutions, and we should follow in steps. Black Enterprise Magazine, there's so many different groups that have been talking about wealth development in our community for years. We've been talking about buying black for years. We've been talking about supporting black banks for years. It's not so much that these teachings are new. They're not. They're just being reiterated at a time when the people are ready to hear that, and there's enough external pressure pushing us in the direction that we need to support ourselves. What has not been taught for years is that we need to create institutions, financial institutions, beyond the greatest financial institution that most black people understand is a bank. There's nothing that they understand that I've heard, that I've seen discussed in terms of black power greater than the bank. And you could call it whatever kind of bank you want to call it, a developmental bank, a credit union, a bank. This is not the greatest financial institution that we can develop. a treasury is probably just about the greatest financial institution that we can develop of things that we know of. We could probably create something that has been new and not designed on this planet to this date once we get to that point, but we haven't been given the opportunity because we haven't taken it. So if we assume the role that we are autonomous and we assume the role that we are able to manage our own resources in terms of trade as a collective community, then we need to create a treasury. And if we create a treasury, many of these smaller problems become very small for us. Many of these problems that we view as being large become very small because we'd be able to be, it's the difference between if you're going to fight an individual and you make a fist, whereas before you didn't even make a fist. You didn't even throw a punch. Creating a treasury is basically forming a fist and beginning the process of warfare financially against anyone and anything that is in our community that is parasitic. So how we come together, I'll tell you how we come together, Scott. We come together when we take the focus off of our particular brand. We take the focus off our particular organization. We take the focus off of any of that, and we put the focus back on the mission. So it doesn't do anything for the All African Empowerment Society to say, hey, we need to support Dr. Anderson. It doesn't take anything away from the All African Empowerment Society because that's its mission. It doesn't take anything from the gathering to say, hey, we need to support this or support that. That is our mission. If unity is our objective, if any organization or any group is expressing unity and that's our objective, then that means that everyone else who's expressing the same thing, then we need to be having conversations with each other. It becomes difficult because of the society that we live in. And because of the society that we live in, we as individuals still operate in a very Eurocentric way. So if I pick up the phone and call this person, you know, we have to go through the whole courtship dance of who are you and what do you want from me and why are you calling me and do you know who I am and all of the ego and things that go along with that and all of these things get into the way. It's like putting sand in a gas tank. It's all friction. So in order for us to get past friction, we as individuals, leadership, and so forth, have got to take on a mindset that I'm nobody and I'm nothing and that everything that I'm doing is not for my benefit, regardless of whether or not it's going to be a sacrifice to myself or my family, and that is par for the course. If you can't do that, then you cannot be in a leadership position. And there are differences between those people who are in leadership positions because they've decided to be part of Black Power versus people who are in leadership positions because they have the academic credentials or they have the business credentials or the governmental credentials. Those people, not always, but primarily are operating in a Eurocentric fashion. And if they're operating in that fashion, then we have to deal with that level of friction. If we're operating in an African worldview or an indigenous worldview, then there should be nothing interfering with us coming together. And that becomes the goal as opposed to how do we. It's not a matter of how do we. It's what we must do. So I have not had any issues with uniting with other people other than when they're operating in a Eurocentric way. And that kind of weeds itself out by itself. And you start to see that many people who are doing a lot of the African this or African that, not necessarily everyone, but are pretty much doing those things according to their personal gain and their personal fame. So how do we come together? We come together with people who are not just in agreement on intellectual views, but people who are in agreement on a matter of the heart, which is family, which is unification. So the African worldview as a guiding standard of unification is how we come together. So we would have I thought about a question that was asked to me today in terms of everything that I'm doing. If somebody else has the same platform that we're offering and they are light years ahead of where we need to be, then you know what? Then I would make the suggestion to the All African Empowerment Society that we need to be part of that group and we need to follow their lead and contribute what we have to them, regardless of the amount of work that we have already contributed. Because that is what we're supposed to do. Because if we don't coalesce and unify to become stronger, then we can remain divided, we can remain in our own little pockets and take care of our own little selves, and then we can rob our children of a future of success and victory. And if that's what you want to do, then that's what those people can do in a selfish manner. I believe that it's important for us to be altruistic and selfless if you're going to be involved in nationhood and the Black Power movement.
All right. Thank you.
Naja.
So are you already involved in the gathering, brother?
Yes, I am. I'm the New York State representative.
Okay, okay. Well, welcome to the Sign of the Times family as well.
Thank you, thank you.
So how receptive have people been so far in that area when you speak to them about the gathering and the treasury?
Well, initially, when I was speaking to individuals about the treasury, it's a lot of individuals that it sounds good to them, but it's a little bit more talk than, you know, a lot of people are not action. You know, a lot of people are not really the verb where they're going to actually go on and read it. You know, it got to the point where me, myself, I did a video and I read it on the video because, honestly, we in this microwave society where individuals got like 15-minute attention span. Anything further than that, they kind of lose focus, you know. So I did a video where I read it on the video and, you know, sent it out. Individuals saw it, but people are more enthusiastic about it, and they're not necessarily following up with going on and, you know, not even reading it, just sign. If they're not even going to read it, there's nothing to sign. But, you know, that doesn't discourage me. You know, it is what it is. I know, unfortunately, liberation is not necessarily for everybody. Everybody is not that type of individual where they want to do for self. Some people need that 9-to-5. Some, not knocking them, but I know me and what I stand for, and I've seen a group of individuals stand for some of the same principles that I do. And, you know, the main thing with us is, yo, it's about family. It's about, you know, a BBFODA. You know, we gotta have our liberation. And, you know, be it here, be it repatriation, regardless where it's at, I just know I gotta do for me and mine. And I found other individuals that have that same mindset, and I'm working with them.
Roger that, Naja.
That's what's up. Well, thank you for calling in. I'm going to leave you in queue. So just please mute your phone if you have some background noise. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network, the UAC, and the All African Empowerment Society. We'll be right back.
Put this on YouTube.
Yeah.
You heard this, dude.
I believe our greatest need as a people is to educate our youth. I believe that we need to move from all of the individuals and groups who are doing great things in their communities to uplift kids through better education, but we need to move from fragmentation to consolidation to coalition. They are simply products that help to create awareness.
Anytime you can put a symbol on a t-shirt that symbolizes unity, that's what we're doing.
Something for people to rally around. I use the colors of red, black, and green to reconnect African American youth with their culture. How do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been and what you've been through as a people? At best, we are strongest together. And in that sense, I am driven and passionate about talking to as many people and groups all over this country who, again, want to help to maximize the mission, want to help to move forward our kids with better educational opportunities.
Hello, I'm Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I've just recently completed a manuscript titled Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This work traces the demise of the nonviolent civil disobedience of the civil rights movement and the rise of both the Black Power era and Black Panther Party. Special attention is paid to Panther leaders such as Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Fred Hampton, Eldridge Cleaver, Bunchy Carter, and Geronimo Pratt. This story is told through the view of the Panthers and details the horrific, underhanded attacks that the organization experienced at the hands of the FBI's counterintelligence program under the orders of J. Edgar Hoover. If you're looking for the true story of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, pick up a copy of Creating Revolution as They Advance, a historical narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense on Amazon.com. Thank you.
All right, welcome back to Sign of the Times, everyone. We want to remind everyone to please support Sign of the Times. You can do that a few ways via our PayPal account at signothetimes19@gmail.com. You also can use our U.S. mailing address. It is Sign of the Times or New Power Radio Network, 1623 Dalton Street, number 14939, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45250. We also can be reached at area code 330-366-6838. Please reach out to us. Let us know if there's some programming that you would like to see us address here on Sign of the Times. We are all about community building, especially when it comes to the future of the youth. So, Brother LaQuay, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's one question that has come up. How are you involving the youth in the gathering, and what role do you see them playing? And is there an age limit on those that you are looking for to be a part of this initiative?
There's no real age limit. We have thought about a number of tactics to involve the youth, and I would assume by youth you mean primarily the teenagers, in which we would create a contest where they could actually help with the process of getting people to provide their consent and take the pledge. However, there's a function that we have that is part of the financial freedom program that we have as support in support of the gathering, where we provide financial education classes, where I think that we can look to work with other initiatives like New Era and other different groups that are out here that will be more focused specifically on the youth. So we don't have any specific plans above what I just discussed with you, and we're open to anyone who has a significant dealing with the youth. We do deal with the Ubuntu Initiative under the Bob Society, in which it is a celebration of Black culture and Black business, and there's a lot of youth that are involved with that.
Ashe. Ashe, so, I mean, if we get this many people involved, and you talked about how many states are currently involved and the potential to pull in additional states and additional cities, the need for representation, do you foresee this becoming a political body at any point, or has that is this strictly going to be based on economics?
There's no division. There's very little separation between economics and politics. The political process only exists for the purposes of dividing up resources. That is what the political process is about, defending those resources, dividing those resources, and managing those resources. That's the reason why you have a political body in and of itself. The portion of our society where the politics gets into the family and how we deal with one another and all of that, that's about managing resources. So in that respect, it would already be a political body. There's always going to, and I guess it depends on our level of understanding of what politics is. We associate politics as being governmental in the sense of a country and the international community and flags and laws and so on and so forth. It's governmental body in the respect that each company, each business, each business has its own governmental body, whether it be a CEO, whether it be the owner, whether it be the board or whatever. I mean, those are the different types of governmental structures they have for their businesses, and those are the different types of governments that they, the different types of officials that they have in their government. So if we had an entity, an organization, an institution, it automatically is going to have a governmental body because it's how it operates and it's necessary. As far as the people who are involving themselves in the creation of the Treasury, for example, the city reps, the state reps, and so forth, they're being compensated for what they're doing, and they will continue to be compensated for what they're doing once the Treasury is created. And in addition to that, there will be other opportunities for them in terms of structure, because now once we've focused on macro, now we have to begin the process of focusing on micro. And that would mean employing the strategies that Dr. Anderson has already laid out in Powernomics and facilitating that process. So one of the things would be we need a captive market. We don't need our people to and here's what I mean by that. The nation of China does not allow the World Wide Web to come into China as a whole. What they do is, if you are a company and you wish you wish your applications or you wish your software or company to go into China, you then have to basically apply to be part of the Chinese intranet system, and maybe they let you in and maybe they don't. But in lieu of all of that, what they've done is they've basically developed an internet within their nation that pretty much functions just for them, so that they don't compete with. So if they create an app, they're not competing with whatever apps you may have created on iTunes or on the iStore and so forth. They're only competing with each other, and by competing with each other, they're developing their own mechanisms, their own process, their own culture of how they operate digitally, and they could become weaker than what's outside of them, or they could become stronger. It just depends on the level of creativity and competition and cooperation that they have. We have to do something similar in terms of process, in that we've got to get our people to pretty much do consumption amongst each other. So if we create a product and release it, we need to be able to market directly to our people and not compete with, for example, if we come up with a soap powder, we don't need to compete with Tide. We don't buy Tide. But they need to have a selection that could possibly be better than Tide. So we may have three or four different companies or different groups that produce soap powder within our economy. And we support those groups through the Treasury so that our people can then buy that product as opposed to Tide or any other product that's coming from a foreign source. We will begin to look at everything else that's outside of our community or our people as being foreign. So we're not interested in importing, we're interested in exporting, which means that we buy local from ourselves and then we sell to whoever, primarily selling to other people outside of our community so that we can pull in their money and their dollars into our community. And that's the capitalist process. But at the end of the day, we still need to have a captive market where we do the production and we do the consumption. So, yeah, that group that's helping to create the Treasury would be part of that process as well, whether they're under the All African Empowerment Society or some other entity or some other group under Dr. Anderson or whoever.
Okay. We've lost a brother in New York, so hopefully he'll call back.
Okay, so
Brother LaQuay, you know, we've got a lot of people who are trying to find a way out of no way. We talk about capitalism and the importance to engage and teach our children better spending habits than we've had in the past, critical thinking skills when it comes to making not only economic decisions, but political decisions, health decisions, social, economic conditions, decisions, and everything else. And so what message do you have for the people who have, you know, started to look at society, look at the dynamics and the political environment in the U.S., and they've lost a certain amount of hope that things are really going to change? What is your message to those people?
Um, In all situations, if you're going to survive adversity, the first thing you have to do is know that you're going to survive that adversity. So you have to have a good attitude. You have to have a belief that you will persevere and you will prevail. In so doing, once you come up with that idea and you believe that, then you have to put that into action and you have to actually do what it is that you believe you're going to be able to do. So you begin the process of surviving or thriving. In this case, whatever's going on in the United States, whatever's going on around you, the first thing you have to do is, like what the brother said from New York, is find people who agree with what you agree with, who think like you think, and that's the beginning process. And once again, leads us back to that very term, gather. If you're going to be an island, you're not going to survive. You have to come together with others who agree with what you agree with and are willing to achieve the same objectives that you're willing to achieve. So don't give up hope would be the first thing. Come together with people who agree with what you agree with or are close to what you want, the same things that you want. Gather with them and then come up with a plan and then execute that plan. And there's plenty of us out here who actually believe that we can do this collectively and are willing to take whatever actions is necessary for us to achieve that. Queen, are you there?
I'm sorry, I was muted. For those who are listening on computer, please dial in at 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059. And if you're listening on your phone currently, please push 1 to come into queue to make a comment or ask a question. Now, Quay, I know that there were some activities going on in the Atlanta area where you're based out of as it relates to the gathering and the treasury. Can you talk about those? Update us on how those events are going and how they went. And talk about the classes that you all offer and your willingness to travel to other cities to engage them on the ground floor of what you're building.
Okay. Well, we have a number of programs that we have created, all of which are to engage people and get them involved in the process of the African worldview or the idea of nationhood, and to appeal to whatever their particular interests may be so that they can, one, take the pledge or learn about the pledge and actually give their consent. The first one is, like I said earlier, which was to register your business. So in every one of the cities that we are in, we are looking to register at least 20 businesses with the Treasury. That is any type of business, particularly accountants, attorneys, web developers, salon owners, barbershop owners, funeral parlors, et cetera, grocery stores, small mom-and-pop stores, all of our businesses that we have in our community. So if you are in any of these cities that we've already targeted, and there's a city left in your city, all you need to do is go to aaesociety.org/newbiz, and that will you can register your business there. As part of that, we have a number of benefits that we can provide currently, as well as once the treasury has been created, that will put you in line to receive a cash grant for your business. You can do the same process for organizations. You go to the same website, and you'll see where it says under programs to register your organization. So next, we have the African Worldview Study Group, which is a national study group. We started it as a city study group, and we were able to conduct classes in Atlanta, Athens, Savannah, Augusta, and in Georgia. We changed that to where we're trying to do now. We're trying to get the technology straight. But to be able to give a African Worldview class that can be hosted either by Google or be hosted, we don't want to necessarily go with a YouTube solution, but to be able to put it on Facebook, which is where we have our strongest following, so that people who are part of the class, you can go to the Kush African Worldview Study Group, which is a group online on Facebook, and you join that group. As part of that group, you will be able to see any of the classes that we provide. We no longer charge for these classes because we've moved beyond that, and we thank you for all of the support that everyone has provided. So we've pretty much opened it up to the public, for everyone who's part of that, to be able to listen to those classes. What we teach in those classes is pretty much the African worldview of history. So we follow some core values where we address the creation stories that come from various cultures. We address the idea of human creation and what we consider to be different groups of human beings on Earth. We address as well as the origin of civilization and different ideas about that. We address the idea of melanin, and then we get into the process of civilization and how we've gotten to where we are right now. And pretty much we do that by going step by step through different eras of history, starting from 250,000 years before the Common Era. And then we move all the way forward to the Common Era, and we move beyond that to 1440, which is the expulsion of the Moors from Europe. And then we go from that to the 1800s and the Haitian Revolution, and then we go from the Haitian Revolution to our current period. So everyone that has an interest in history or culture would be interested in any of these classes. Additionally, we have a survival class that we do, which is one of the other programs that we do. This class addresses some basic survival principles that many of us, I'm certain, don't have. We have focused very heavily on hand-to-hand combat, martial arts. So when we think of survival, most of our people pretty much think of, I do karate or I do martial arts and so forth, and that's not the type of survival things that we teach. What we teach in our class focuses on primal survival techniques. And, for example, most people don't know how to create primal fire. And people say, well, what is primal fire? Well, primal fire is the ability for you to create fire from the elements without any type of accelerant, meaning no matches, no sparks, none of those type of methods. What we utilize is a bowstring or a rubbing method and a bird's nest. And we teach you exactly how to do that, and we demonstrate as well as you yourself will create fire within this class. What we also teach is resource identification and location acquisition. So many of the resources that are necessary for survival, most people don't really even know what those are, although you may know that you need food and water. A lot of times people believe that they only need to get access to food or water, and they overlook that they need fire because they're not sure what fire is actually going to be used for. Fire is good for protection against predators, and if there was any type of serious collapse, best believe that the animals are not going to stay on the outskirts of human civilization just because most of the things that keep them out of human civilization are due to technology. When we lose that technology, i.e. electricity, now the territory becomes open, and those things that we consider to be our pets could actually turn into our predators. So fire is important because fire is one of the only elements that only human beings have mastered fire and or have utilized fire. Most and every single animal is afraid of fire other than us. Key for you to be able to create that and make that. And you will not always have the resources. You do not know where you're going to be in a particular crisis and what the circumstances will be. So you can't count on you having those resources available. The most critical element that you would need would be water. If you don't have access to clean water, it doesn't matter if you had an entire ocean of water. It's not clean. And if it's not clean, drinking it can kill you. So you may need to, or not you may, you do have to understand the process of how to distill water and how to create a distillery right then and there from the elements that are around you. There's twice a day that the planet replenishes itself with clean water naturally by the change in temperature, and that is the rising and setting of the sun. So in that process, you can immediately use nature's natural distillery to find water sources, whether you're in a desert or you're in a very wet environment. Even though you may be in a very wet environment, a jungle environment of some sort, or a forest environment, even though there seems to be a large amount of water available, most of that water is not clean because it's contaminated by various types of plant matter or various types of animal matter. So you would need to be able to still distill that water. That's another process that we teach. Also, most of our gadgets and our technology is powered through batteries, and most Americans don't know how to create a basic battery. We teach the process that has been around for over 3,000 years of how to create a battery and what battery technology is. In addition to that, many things that, let's say we master all of that, you need to learn how to trap animals and acquire food, how to clean it, so on and so forth. We do get into some minor trapping, but we teach the process of how you go about cleaning particular animals and what you should know. Many people have never killed their own animal or killed their own food in order for them to eat that, something you might want to know. In addition to that, we talk about communication and some of the international standards of SOS. And that communication, so that if you are in a crisis where you need to contact other people or let people know you are in distress, you may need to know that type of language, as well as basic communication by way of a radio and some of the things that you can do to create your own radio to be able to communicate with people. These are things that you would want to know. And once you've done with all of that, the next thing you need to know is some level of hygiene and some level of first aid in a natural environment where you don't have chemicals to do these things, i.e. soap and toothpaste. How do you clean your teeth and keep oral hygiene in that environment, as well as how do you clean yourself without soap? In addition, the last thing I would say is once you've mastered all of that is base site security. Because your biggest threat may not be the elements. Once you've been able to do that in certain types of crisis, it might be other people. So how do you deal with other people and how do you interact with them in that situation that would be safe for you as well as them and to protect your family in those environments if you have your family with you? So all of these things are what we teach in our survival class. We charge a very nominal fee per adult of $100. And the way it works is in your particular city, there must be at least 20 people who register. When you register, you must place your deposit for us to maintain your position. Once we achieve 20 students in your area, and we try and keep that within a 30-day cycle, we will travel to your city and give that class. We are looking to have our first class here in Atlanta as we're getting a lot of people who are applying. And then we will actually videotape portions of that class for you to be able to see what this class is and why it's very important for you to have this class considering our current environment and what is possible to take place in this country. Beyond that, we have the Black Wall Street Awards. These are events that we are planning on having in different cities where we actually honor 10 prominent business people who have been in your community. And by prominent, we do not mean people who have achieved a certain level of success financially. We're talking about people who have helped to maintain the community, who have become a longstanding contributor from a business standpoint to the community. So this means that not necessarily somebody who might own a chain store and they purchased that chain store 10 years ago and they don't do anything in the community. We are looking for people who have created their own business, have become entrepreneurs, and who have been supportive of the community, i.e. your local chicken shack or your local barber and all of these types of people who are normally not given an award. So we want to come out and honor those people because we realize that these are the standard people for most of our communities that help to pay for little league teams, different civic organizations, and so forth.
The brother from New York is back on the line. Brother, your mic is open. And Brother McQuay, I know you mentioned some of the things that are going on around you, some of the other conversations that are being had around economics and collective economics especially. So can you talk about the similarities, if you will, between the gathering and the treasury and some of the other things that are out here? And what makes the treasury and the gathering unique, if you will? What makes this different?
Well, like I said earlier, we're addressing a macroeconomic problem, or a macroeconomic need. That's a better way to say it. Many of the other people who are speaking about economic development, and they've chosen to do so intentionally, probably by way of tactics, because either they have not considered us being ready to behave autonomously, or well, actually, in both situations, they would come to the same conclusion, either because they don't believe that we are capable of doing something autonomous given the current status of white wealth supremacy, or they don't believe we as a people are ready to master the creation of macroeconomic institutions. But that's the difference between them and us, so to speak. We are the only group that I know of that is speaking on the development of a treasury, which I said earlier is different from a developmental bank. It's different from a bank altogether. It is not a credit union. It is not profit-driven. It's the closest thing that you could possibly call it is a nonprofit bank, which is what people would like to view credit unions as, but that is not what they are. So that is what makes us unique. What also makes us unique is our goal is not this, like currently, when we're talking about the creation of the treasury, we're not seeking to actually do that. We're actually seeking to get community support to say that we should have one. That's what we're doing currently, in order to get those people who have the other platforms to actually come to the table together to create a macroeconomic solution so that they can continue with their microeconomic solution. We're actually in service to those other groups, whether they realize it or not.
Okay, so where do we go from here, Brother McQuay? Is there some things that people can do in between the next 2 weeks that we get together? Are there some things that we need to be preparing for? Where do you project this is going to be within the next year or within the next 5 years?
Well, I can't speak. Like I said, we have 7 months to go before our deadline for the gathering. So where we expect to be in the next 2 weeks is we expect to get at least another 1,000 or 2,000 pledges. We're introducing a new plan for our city representatives to give them a degree of compensation for coming on board and taking the position that we have, because we have some new funding sources. So even though they were going to be compensated once we create the treasury, we are literally looking to currently compensate them for a specific aspect of what they're doing. So if anyone is out there listening to this program and they would like to be a city representative, literally please take the pledge and identify that you wish to be a city representative, because we do have the ability to actually pay you. And you might want to take a hold of that and take a hold of this independent position that you could have with the Treasury or with the Gathering campaign right now. So if you're unemployed or you need some extra income, come work with us. Help us to achieve the creation of a treasury where we're paying. So that's a key thing. So you go to blackunitedstates.com. We expect to get. So based on what I just said, we do expect to have a few new city representatives, new state representatives that will help us go with the other half of the nation, because we are pretty much in every place that is east of the Mississippi. We need to get to every place that is west of the Mississippi. So we were able to do 5,000 off of the small amount of cities that we currently have. I believe that we will be able to get to 15,000 in no time, as well as 20,000. So we would like to get to 15,000 before election time frame, which is November, early November. So whoever's going to be sitting in that White House, we want to make sure that we have achieved the creation of the prospectus or started that process prior to, because we're going to turn it up after we create the prospectus and we're really going to go live. Because once the prospectus is created, I believe that all of the camps that are expressing economic solutions or a version of microeconomic solutions for our people will be on the same page macroeconomically, because they are the ones who are actually going to help create the plan. So they would all be promoting the gathering after that point. So it's key for us to get to 15,000 pledges within the next month and a half. So we expect to have some commercials out. We expect to have some new blood, new representatives, and we expect to be being a lot more vocal, a lot more visual with the gathering. We have intentionally been less than vocal and visual. Well, not vocal, but definitely less than visual up until the first milestone, which was the 5,000 pledges. And since we have reached that, we are now going to take advantage of our extensive network and begin our marketing campaign full-fledged.
Cool. I'm sorry, brother. What's your name again in New York? Maybe he's muted. I was just wanted to ask him, did he have another question or a comment before we get ready to close for the evening? Brother LaQuette, before we do close, what do you want to say to the listeners to get them ready and prepare for what's happening next?
You must believe that we are capable of achieving victory. You must believe that what we're trying to accomplish is something that you have not seen before. And it will be something that does not involve, at this point, conflict with ourselves. We don't have to create confusion or get stuck in a lot of the mistakes that have happened amongst our people in the past. There's nothing dividing us, because we all kind of want the same thing. And as long as we are patient with each other, and are able to separate actual differences in opinion from differences in ego, which are two different things, we will be able to move forward. We need to set as much of our egos aside in order for us to focus on the differences of opinion, so that we can figure out why those differences exist and see if we can come up with solutions. It's impossible to come up with solutions for differences in ego, because that's a problem of maturity. And we need to all be mature people at this point. And that's where we're going to succeed, because I believe that many of us at this point are not stuck in a lot of the inhibitions that have been created by white supremacy in our community. Many of the negative ramifications and effects of oppression, I think many of us are starting to see beyond that and realize that we have got to unify and work together as best we can. Those that have not reached that level won't be part of this process, so we don't need to worry about that. And they kind of weed themselves out. But the process that we're doing with the 0.1% is for the entire 99.99%. So regardless of whether or not they are actually involved, they will benefit by it. So remember to take
right,
the pledge. I was going to say, just give the contact information. Remember to take the pledge. The organization is the All African Empowerment Society, AAES, pronounced I's. You can find us at www.aaesociety.org. You can take the pledge and give us your consent at blackunitedstates.com. And if you need to contact me directly, I'm not above speaking to anyone. My telephone number is 732-807-5835. My email address is ljuel@aaesociety.org. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you again, Brother New York. I'm sorry, what was your name?
I think his name is Scott Thomas.
Okay. Thank you, Scott, for calling in. I apologize that the grandbabies are making music in the background. And Brother LaQuay, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the air. We're looking forward to archiving and sharing this broadcast with those who may have missed this evening's broadcast. We will be back in 2 weeks here on Sign of the Times with AAE Society. Please reach out to them at www.aaesociety.org. We will be back with them on September the 30th, live and in living color here on Sign of the Times. We ask that everyone please, again, keep our brothers and sisters in the freedom struggle in your thoughts and positive well wishes. We are here for them, and we need to let them know that we do support them here on New Power Radio Network. So thank you, Brother LaQuay. As always, it's been a pleasure. And if you need to reach LaQuay, please reach out to him directly. And like you said, he is easy to find, easy to talk to, and is willing to help guide anyone who is interested in this process through it. So thanks again, Brother LaQuay. We will see you in 2 weeks on September the 30th. Thank you to Brother Scott for calling in from New York City. And thank you, as always, to our listeners and supporters who have continued to support Sign of the Times and New Power Radio Network and the UAC for the past 3-plus years. We love you. We appreciate you. And most of all, we respect you, because without you, there would be no us. So thanks again, everybody. We'll see you soon. Peace.
Naja.
Yeah, give people what they want.